Now, if you think our air today is polluted, spare a thought for those who lived in 1783 in Iceland, because there was a massive volcanic eruption, and that was the biggest atmospheric pollution event in history. Professor John Grattan's on the line from the University of Wales in Aberystwyth. Hello, John.
Hello.
So if this were industry, the government would have shut it down on health and safety grounds, this volcano.
Absolutely. It emitted about 17 times more sulphur than all of Europe today put together.
So tell us about the events that led up to this eruption and how it got documented and what the consequences were.
Well, it all began in early June 1783, really, in Iceland, really a very remote place at that time. And a very astute pastor called John Steingrimsson started to notice a dark cloud building to the north, and that was followed by sort of what he described as iron filings falling to the earth and burying the plants, etc. And then that was quickly followed by the smell of sulphur. And then within a day or two, the animals started to die, and people started to die. And within a few days, you know, the livestock had gone. At the end of the event, something like 3/4 of all Iceland's livestock, sheep, cattle, horses had all died, and about 1/4 of Iceland's population. So it was bad in Iceland.
So what was the reason that those people succumbed and their animals too?
Well, there's several causes. The first one, as far as the animals were concerned, was that the eruption threw out fluorine, which landed on the vegetation, and the animals then ate it, and that released the fluorine into their bodies. It was a poison, and essentially their stomachs were blocked up with ash, so they couldn't ruminate. There was poison. This fluorine was in their body. That triggered uncontrolled bone growth. So you had the sheep, for instance, they would have the teeth would be growing uncontrollably, so they looked like fangs, and they were digging into the jaw above or below, so they couldn't chew anyway, and they'd get the joints of their bones would have sort of spikes growing out, so they couldn't walk, and it was sort of a very apocalyptic vision, and the people at the time in Iceland just saw it as the end of the world. This was a judgment of God on the sinful nation.
Is it a one-off, this kind of thing happening, or have there been lots of examples of volcanoes having this kind of catastrophic effect on populations before?
Well, I think there was an eruption on a slightly bigger scale in the 10th century, an eruption called Eldgjár, which was even bigger, and probably there's an eruption like this every 500 years or so in Iceland on this scale. But small eruptions in Iceland still release fluorine, and they do kill the livestock. As recently as 2000, the eruption of Hekla, the livestock in Iceland was being killed. But it's not just the impact in Iceland that's a problem. The Laki fissure emitted hundreds of millions of tons of sulphur into the atmosphere, and it was transported around the world, and a lot of it was transported to Europe, where it also had terrible impacts.
So if you add up how much comes out of one volcano, how does it compare with, say, mankind's activities? Because I've got an email here from Eric Taylor to a Latin who is in the USA, and Eric wants to know, you know, how do volcanoes compare, say, up against cars, houses, industry in terms of their emissions?
Oh, you put me on the spot there. Now, that figure's just slipped out of my head, I'm afraid. But I can tell you, for instance, that Mount Etna, in a typical year, emits as much sulphur as all of France's industry. So it is a significant contribution. But you have to remember that the planet's ecosystem has evolved with volcanoes doing this. And the problem with man's emissions is that they're extra to this, and they often have concentrated local impacts in cities, etc., on forests which aren't expecting to receive a contribution of sulfur dioxide. Where a volcano is emitting sulfur, then the ecologies around it have grown and adapted to tolerate that.
If you look further afield than just the local environment, though, because you said these gases get spread right the way around the world, what can we say happens to the Earth's atmosphere and the environment and the climate as a consequence of volcanoes?
Well, typically, the gases get from a low intensity volcanic eruption. The gases get emitted into the troposphere, and they're diluted by atmospheric processes. They're rained out as very dilute acid rain, and there's really no significant impact from them. But where we have large scale eruptions, which are less common, say a 1 in 500 year eruptive event, for instance, then we're dealing with hundreds of millions of tons of sulfur being emitted in a relatively short period of time. And these then can be concentrated by atmospheric processes, and these can have a really severe impact. In 1783, when the Lackey Fissure eruption was taking place, there was a sulphurous dry fog was formed all over Europe, and people were describing how their crops were being killed, the leaves were falling off trees. People were complaining of the smell of sulphur, and they were coughing, and then the people were dying in great numbers. We think that in the summer of 1783, something like 20,000 people died in extra people died in England and alone as a result of the environmental manipulation of this. So we've got two things going on. We've got the normal background, typical year-on-year eruptive activity, and then we've got these significant, you know, once in 500 year events that do significantly stress the environment.
We've had similar things with the London smogs in the 50s, though, haven't we? I mean, we know that atmospheric pollution is bad for you.
We do, and certainly that certainly was the case in the 1950s. And indeed, when I was beginning to investigate the Lackey Fissure, I turned to these smog events to try and get an understanding of what may happen when you get significant concentrations of sulphur on the ground. And certainly, when you're dealing with an event like the Lackey Fissure, where it erupted for 8 months. I mean, people don't realise this. They have this idea that volcanoes are, you know, it's a sort of few days where it erupts into the atmosphere. It's all very spectacular, then it dies down. The Lackey Fissure erupted for 8 months. And throughout that period of time, it's throwing material into the stratosphere, into the atmosphere. And so there's a long-term environmental stress from something like this. And so in our world today, if something like this was to happen, we could imagine a scenario where we have atmospheric pollution in London or Birmingham or any significant conurbation. And then one morning, courtesy of an Icelandic volcano, another 2 million tons of sulphur are delivered. And that's pushing, obviously going to push the environmental thresholds significantly. And then I think we could expect to see significant health impacts and mortality crises.
So you could actually say, because this thing blows up in Iceland, you would be able to trace a health effect in the UK, in France, and further afield, perhaps even Russia and Japan even.
Yeah, absolutely. We've traced this day by day from the moment the eruption began all the way through to 1784 when the eruption ended, and we've got a day-by-day history of the eruption and people's health, and we can see the arrival of the smog, the destruction of crops and plants, and then people are dying, and people begin to die in great numbers in August and September and October 1783. And the people writing at the time, and the people at the time were really amazed by this, you know, this sulphurous smog, and you couldn't see across the valley. They were amazed by this, and they were very clearly linking the arrival of the fog with the deaths of people. There were some French priests who talked about when the fog arrived, a third of the men of my parish were swept to their tombs. And people were really scared. There's one letter which tells of the people of one parish being so afraid of this fog. They obviously thought the end of the world was here and that the gates of hell had opened and the devil was walking the earth. And they dragged the priest out of his house and made him put on his vestments and perform a service of exorcism on it. And so we've got all this happening in the 18th century when really there's little industrial pollution going on. If an event like this was to happen in the future where we have significant industrial pollution or pollution in cities because of car and industry now, then we're dealing with an event where the thresholds for human health impacts are much closer.
I think we should tell that to the people who are coordinating the Beijing Olympics next year, because Beijing is said to have air which is unfit for humans to breathe on about 212 days of the year. But John, thank you very much for joining us. That's John Grattan from the University of Wales, Aberystwyth.
The Naked Scientist Podcast, brought to you by thenakedscientist.com.